Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
We're going to get in the word tonight. I've called it Faithful to the End. I have a lot of scripture to read to you, and I'd encourage you to take notes. Hallelujah. I was going to read from the New International Version, but I popped a lens out of my old man glasses. My daughter said, "You look old." I said, "I am older." I wouldn't trade. Let me put my lens back in. I wouldn't trade where I'm at in my life for anything. I wouldn't go back to being dumb in 20, ever. Not, yes, of course. Not that 20-year-olds are dumb, but I was. I certainly was. I had a lot to learn. I think I got it. My daughter's 20, and she's super smart. Yeah. All right. You ready? Good. Okay. I'm going to read from the New International Version. And I know there's a lot. That didn't come out quite exactly right. I know many 20-year-olds are extremely wise. I was dumb as a box of rocks and thought I knew everything. And it's hard to think you know everything when you don't know much. Anyway, I'm grateful for the battles that God has brought me through. Matthew chapter 24. Faithful to the End is the title of tonight's message. And Matthew 24, I want you to find verse 45. Matthew 24 and 45. Actually, I'm going to take it from verse 44. Matthew 24, 44. Are you ready? So you also must be ready. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food in the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Verse 47. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master is staying away a long time." And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards and pot smokers. Verse 50. The master of that servant, you know, it says drunkards is those that get intoxicated. So I just thought I'd throw that in for all of you cannabis users. If you're offended, let's read verse 50. The master of that servant will come on the day when he does not expect him, and an hour when he's not aware of. And he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My goodness. Go to chapter 25 and find verse 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. I pray that you would help me to communicate what you've spoken to me. And the times of study, Lord, over this week and even this afternoon, this morning, help me to communicate with great clarity that it would burn in the hearts of your people, that we would be faithful to the end as you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. God wants you to be faithful. He's called us to be faithful. Faith and faithfulness go together, and the Greek word for faith is pistis. Pistis, and that's faith or trust or belief. Faithful is a similar Greek word, pistos. Pistos, which means faithful or trustworthy. Now, the reason we put our faith in God, does anybody know the reason we put our faith in God? The reason we put our faith in God is because God is faithful. God is faithful. That's why we put our trust in him. He's God. And in him, there is no shadow of turning. He's faithful. He is a faithful God. Let me read to you some scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God is, you guessed it, God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved and blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He's what? Faithful. Say it in the parking lot. He's what? Faithful. Say it out loud. He's what? Faithful. God is faithful. That's why you can put your trust in him. You can be faithful because God is faithful. That's why. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, and that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will establish you and guard over you from the evil one. Come on, say the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. It's actually a part of who he is. The character of God is that he's faithful. Part of the very character of God, that is who he is. He's a faithful God. 1 Peter 4:19, he's the faithful creator. 1 John 1:9, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And because of who God is, because God's a faithful God, we are to be his faithful people. Ephesians 1:1, Paul writing the church of Ephesus, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:2, to the saints and the faithful brethren. Are you a faithful brethren or sistren?
Yes.
Are you faithful?
Yes.
We're to be faithful. Faith in God because he's faithful to you. Hallelujah. Let me read you in some more scripture. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is, you guessed it, he's faithful. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God, who has given you these great and precious promises, which are yes and amen, is faithful. He stands over his word to see it performed. God is a faithful God. So if God said it, that means we ought to believe it. Why? Because he's been faithful for generations, faithful to you, faithful to me. We're the ones that waver, but we shouldn't, because he's a faithful God and he's given us his promises. He's given us his precious promises and he's faithful to keep them. He's faithful to bring it to pass. In Thessalonians, he who calls you is faithful. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. So faithful is the key word in these passages, these texts that we read. And it really, he's answering, what the Lord's doing is he's answering questions his disciples asked him in Matthew 24:3. And you can go look at that. He says, now he sat on the Mount of Olives. Disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be. They want to know, when is the end? When will it all come to pass? When will be the sign of your coming? When is the sign of the coming of your age, the coming of the age? And that's what people are asking now. People are like, my God, is this the end? Yeah, it's the end. When? I don't know. There's signs, there's birth pains. But we're to be faithful. We're to be faithful in the middle of the faithful to tithe, faithful to pray, faithful to give, faithful to help others in need, faithful to be his people, to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, so that in the end, when it's all over and he rolls up time like a scroll, we go off to meet him, maybe in the air, or maybe you die and you go and meet him, that you would hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Chapter 24 of Matthew and 25 answer those two questions. When will the end come? And what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the age? Matthew 24:44, therefore, it says, and I read this, therefore, you also to be ready. We're to be ready. What does it mean to be ready? What does it mean to be ready?
I don't know if you've ever run a race or you know, you're there at the jump ball and basketball. I mean, you're paused and you're ready for that whistle or that gun to go off or that ball to go up. You're ready. You're looking. You're anticipating. That's what we're to be like in this hour of history. Readiness is to be faithful. Readiness is to be faithful. Faithful to fulfill the responsibilities that God's called us to. What responsibilities? To love Him. And to obey His word, to serve Him, to be a servant, to pray, to fast, to witness to the lost. We're supposed to be faithful to Him and to the responsibilities we have. And you'll notice that faithfulness elevates a person. Now you see in Luke 16, 10 and 11, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least will be faithful also in much." Listen, for you, those of you that are business owners, if you see somebody that's unfaithful with their car or unfaithful with different things in their life, what makes you think they're going to be faithful with the business that you're entrusting to them? If they're not faithful to do the things that they're supposed to do in life, how could they possibly be faithful with another man's responsibilities? If you're not faithful, he goes on to say in Luke 16, 11, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches?" Who will commit to you the true riches? I'll never forget it. Many years ago, my wife and I, we were in a rock and a hard spot. We needed a lot of money. We didn't have it. This is 20 plus years ago. And I learned a principle of what we call tasking prayer. We had given, we were tithers, we were praying, we fasted, we did all kinds of things. We gave, we threw off ballast. You want to go higher? Give. Want to go up higher? So give. We did that. We sewed a car. We gave away clothes. We did all kinds of things. We gave finances and resources. We were serving. And the breakthrough didn't come until I went away into the church that we were helping to pastor with a part of a team. And I got on my face and I began to pray. It was after all of our responsibilities on a Wednesday night after church. Started at about 10:10, I think it was, if I remember correctly. I was so tired, I prayed. I said, "God, release money. I need money. God, release it." I fell asleep and woke up at like 3 in the morning, 3:15, 3:20, something like that. I woke up to the glory of God. My words had changed. "Lord, release the true riches of heaven." Understand this. In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of what we're going through right now, you remain faithful to God because God will come through for you. And what He did for me is He showed up. I mean, all I can tell you was a mixture of light and sound and angels. And it was crazy. And you know, might not understand that, but we believe these things. And this is my experience. And then I have the proof of the evidence afterwards of what I believed that was invisible was brought into the natural. And God brought in every dollar we needed over the next few days and did miracle deliverance for us. That prayer that changed, "Lord, release the true riches." You see, the true riches have nothing to do with your paycheck and have everything to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Be faithful. The opposite of faithfulness is giving in to doing whatever you want to. The opposite of faithfulness is rebellion. And some of you have a half heart for God. But you know, there's something about the whole world shutting down, being concerned about dying over some plague that just sort of gets the attention of even those that are so numb from doing drugs and smoking cannabis and just out of their minds with science. You can't help but tune in right now. It's time to pay attention. It's time to wake up. It's time to stop doing things your own way and become faithful to the Lord. And He'll help you to do it. He'll help you to do it. The opposite of faithfulness is giving into doing whatever you want to do and not caring about the master. Look at verse 48. "But suppose that servant is wicked who says, 'My master is staying away a long time.'" Verse 49. "Then he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour when he's not aware of." And in verse 51, it's just so intense. It's severe judgment awaits unfaithfulness. I mean, this ought to wake us up here. "And he'll cut him to pieces and assign him with a place of the hypocrites where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Chapter 25 carries on the theme of being faithful by showing three parables. The parable of the 10 virgins, which I can't get out of my spirit. I woke up praying and considering the parable of the 10 virgins. We didn't read the whole text, but I'd encourage you to. Five are faithful, they're wise, and five are stupid, foolish. The five wise, they have their lamps filled with oil. And this is Matthew 25 now. You can go look at this, and it's from verse 14 and following. They're wise, they have their lamps filled with oil, and then fives didn't. You know, there's some things you can borrow, and there's some things that you can't. You can't borrow someone else's oil. Let me make that plain. You can't borrow someone else's anointing. You got to get your own. You can't borrow someone else's faithfulness. You yourself have been to make a decision for Jesus, and you have to remain faithful to him. You can't borrow the Holy Spirit. How about holiness? You can't borrow someone else's holiness. You can't make it to heaven based on someone else. You can't ride someone else's coattails into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, your mom and dad served him. You need to serve him now. You need to pick him now, choose him now, repent of your sin. We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful because you can't borrow holiness and you can't borrow someone else's anointing. You can be touched. You can be imparted to, certainly. But it's time to get your own anointing, and it's time to live right. It's time to be faithful. Sometimes, you know, it's too late. I hate that. You know, he's the God of the second and third chance. That's cute and true. But then there's moments that you miss, and they're never coming again. This is a moment that you don't want to miss right now. You want to be faithful. The parable of the talents. It's the second parable. There's three that talk about being faithful. Parable of the talents. God gives us responsibilities and resources equal to our abilities and opportunities. And you know what's fascinating to me is that, I love this, I'm not going to be judged by the gifts and the talents that you've been given. I'm going to be judged by the gifts and the talents and opportunities that I've been given, but I'm not going to be judged by the ones that you've been given. I'm listening to this beautiful team play and worship and the piano and all of that. I'm not going to be judged by the gifts and talents of Minister Micah. I'm going to be judged by the gifts and talents that God's given me and the opportunities that he's given me. I'm not going to be judged by the gifts and talents of Pastor Karen. She's going to be judged by her own gifts and talents and the opportunities that God's given. Don't ever measure yourself according to some other human being. Look to God. Be the best you that you can be and allow for God to empower you and fill you. You know what I found? I found this. I found that even if you don't have any brains, if you'll just end up being faithful, he'll give you a set. A set of brains. Come on, some of you need some help. Hallelujah. It's stinking funny right there. Let's have a praise break. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're called to be faithful and settle down on the back row. We're called to be faithful and utilize what we've been given so that God can multiply it. That's the talent. Be faithful in the talents that he's given you, and then he'll cause them to be multiplied. And the key to that parable is verse 29. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from him and thrown and throw that worthless servant outside, verse 30, into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. And the third parable, talking about being faithful. Listen, God is faithful. He wants to help you to be faithful. You need to be faithful. The third parable is the sheep and goats. The goats are going to hell. Has anybody ever worked with goats? Is there anybody that's worked with goats? Do you remember? You remember Pastor Karen? Goats, man. No wonder goats are like a satanic object of worship, the goat head or whatever. I don't really understand all of that, and I'm not going to go look into it either. But goats are stupid. I mean, goats are like mean-spirited. Oh, not my goat. My goat's sweet. All right, great. But generally speaking, that's probably because you love the Lord and it's just got an impartation or something. But I remember when we were courting all those years ago, And I think it was our first date, one of our very first dates. I got you in my car and I drove you up to Maha Road where we were living. I was living underneath Pastor Chris. And we drove up there and to get something, but I wanted to show you this incredible goat. They had this goat that was tied to the fence, and it had probably, I don't know, 30 feet of rope, and it was tied to its neck. And whenever anybody pulled into the Maha property right there up in Makawao, this goat would lose its ever-loving mind. And it would take off along the fence full speed until its rope ended, yanked its neck, and it would yank it level and would fall on the ground. It would get up and run the other direction, and it would not stop. As long as you were parked in the driveway looking at the goat, it ran back and forth, jerking itself level and falling on the ground and run back. And we would just watch that thing and just be like, man, what an insane. And finally, we had mercy on its neck. It didn't want it to kill itself. So we like, finally, you know, with all the laughter, I know that's cruel. We weren't as sanctified as we are now, huh, Pastor Karen? You say, how cruel, watch a goat. Yeah, but goats are going to hell. And that's the picture here. The goats go to hell because they're selfish. That's what a goat is. It's a call for us not to be a goat. Don't be a goat. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, don't be a goat. Dah! Anybody ever try to play with it, be nice to a goat? They bite you. They piss on you. They billy goats. They're one of those nasty. Is that a bad word, piss? They urinate on you. They're horrible. They're like, goats are like, has anybody ever seen a goat? Maybe you don't know about goats. You know, I love goat milk. Okay, I'm sure there's some righteous goats out there, but generally, they're a picture of something that's going to go to hell. Billy goats are the nastiest. Yes. Wow. They're selfish. It's a call for us not to be selfish, this sheep and the goats. Our faithfulness to Jesus is to be lived out, being faithful to serve others. Don't be a goat. Don't be a goat. Be faithful. Worship team, please. Be faithful. Be faithful. Now, God is the one who's the definition of faithfulness. And in this hour of history that we're in, you be faithful to him. You be faithful. You be the humble, reverent, grateful servant. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's a key for us to remain good, to remain faithful. Keep your word. Keep his word. Amen. Obey his word. Amen. Live for him. Be a servant. Don't be a goat. Serve other people. Serve other people. The bylaws of the kingdom of God are the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you'll read those this week and you'll live those principles, the Beatitudes, they're attitudes that bring blessing. If you live those principles, you'll walk in blessing and your heart will be invigorated before the Lord. Being a goat, being unfaithful, doesn't bring any fire to your human heart. It brings a dullness, and really in the end, it brings weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's the one that's faithful. He's called us to be faithful. You be faithful. Be faithful. Be generous. Be kind. Be gracious. Be long-suffering. Have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the character quality of somebody who loves the Lord. And we're all growing in these things. Come on, be the wise virgin. Be filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Have your wick trimmed. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Be like a watchman looking for his soon return. He could come and it says he's going to come in an hour that nobody knows, like a thief in the night. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you one of the wise ones, or are you stupid? How do you get oil? By spending time with him and letting him fill you with his Holy Spirit. By being in the Word, being in prayer. I think being in fellowship, a picture of having five of them together. God's calling his faithful people to rise in this hour. Parable of the talents.
Be somebody who can be trusted with the time that you've been given. Talents that you've been given, opportunities you've been given. You're going to be judged. I'm going to be judged by how you've used the gifts and the talents and the time that you have, opportunities that you have. I'm thankful I'm not judged by somebody else's measure, but I am going to be judged by what he's given me. And if you're faithful in the little things, he makes you ruler over much. Sheep and the goats, the other parable. The goats go to hell. You want to be a sheep. You don't want to be a selfish person. Because the end is closer than when we first believed. It's time to get faithful. 2020, you be faithful to God. You be faithful. Let the chips fall where they may. People might reject you. People might hate you. It doesn't matter. The Lord loves you. And if you'll stay faithful to him, he will stand over his promises and they will come to pass for you, for your spouse, for your babies, for your business. God will help you, strengthen you, and bring you through. Remain faithful in 2020. No matter what happens, stay faithful to God. Amen. And the Lord is going to be faithful to us. As I said, he can't help himself. That's his character. He can't deny himself, says that one scripture. And in the end, there's going to come the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the end, we will transition. The earth will pass away in a fervent heat. A new world, a new time, a new age will come. He's going to return, and it's all going to end, and we will live forever. We will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible starts with a marriage, and it ends with a marriage. He's faithful to the end. He's faithful to it. He's going to bring to pass what he promised his bride. The bride is the church. We're the church, the bride. He's come to marry a spotless bride, not a harlot. He's not coming for a half-hearted, adulterous church. I'm preaching like way better than your amen. He's not coming for a half-hearted church that's filled with compromise and idolatry and adultery. He said, well, what if he comes and that's what's going on in the church? Well, he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. And there's going to always be a remnant. I want to be a part. I am a part. And I'm going to remain a part by the grace of God. Through the help of the power of the Holy Spirit, his word, and covenant relationships. I'm going to remain faithful. How about you? How about you? Are you going to remain faithful? Will you stay faithful no matter what? What can you be bought for? You know, so many people just folding up shop. I heard my evangelist, one of my evangelist friends said, man, it's easy to see how many people will just take the mark now. I'm not taking it. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be watchful. I'm going to remain faithful blind the grace of God. How about you? You got to make a decision. Have a very light touch on the things of the world. Have a very light touch. So if you couldn't buy or you couldn't sell unless you had the mark, what are you going to do? You're going to take it so you can buy and sell? Or are you going to stand and stay faithful to him? I love what my friend said just in a service about a week ago. He said he told his kids, in fact, I replayed it for my children. I had them listen. And he told his kids, he said, if there's ever a time when they come for mom and dad, and they say, if you don't reject the Lord, if they say that to you, children, don't you reject him. They say, if you don't reject the Lord, we're going to kill your mom and dad. Don't you reject him. You stay faithful and we'll see you on the other side. But if you're so attached, if you're so clinging and have your arms embraced around unrighteous mammon, you're so in love with the world and so in love with your drugs and your pot, so in love with all of your stuff, so intoxicated by the things of time and tradition and lust and licentiousness, so wrapped up in that when it comes, you'll not even know. You won't even know. You won't even know. And then the end will come and you'll be like, what happened? Not me. So help me God. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve him. Are you ready? You guys ready? You ready? You ready? You ready? Be watchful. Stay
faithful. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. I'm going to stay faithful. Come on, tell the Lord, I'm going to remain faithful. Faithful to the end. Faithful. That day, that great and awesome day, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful to the end, where you come and you marry us. And these things fade away. We enter on in to ruling and reigning with you. A new heaven and a new earth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain forever. We want to stay faithful.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.